Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for life and health and opportunity to hear thy word. May thy word speak to someone tonight, someone who is in need of thee badly, someone who has never known thee as Savior and Lord. Father in heaven, hear my prayer. Speak to us out of thy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our second night, and as I made my way up these steps, I thought it is such a good opportunity to share with you a few verses from the greatest of Psalms for our use tonight. Psalm is 90. Psalm 90. Please turn there. We're going to read just very few verses of Psalm 90. Unlike many other psalms, it is not written by David, but it was written by the greatest of the leaders of men who ever lived. Can you guess the name of him? Oh, dear friend, you must know. And I urge you to know for yourself that this psalm was written by Moses, the one who single-handedly, without the aid of modern equipment or modern vehicles, traveled through the wilderness for 40 years in charge of 2 million Jews. Is there any Jew among our midst? I dare say hardly. But no, the Jews are special people, called of God and used of God for his own purpose. Now, this old Jew called Moses, for 40 years led 2 million other Jews through the wilderness, and he wrote just one psalm. And I think we can learn something from this one psalm, which I did not prepare. I did not intend to speak to you through this psalm, but I think it is appropriate. Just about 2 or 3 verses. Reading from verse 10, please follow me. Verse 10 says, the days of our years are 70, meaning 70. Those of you approaching 70 or past 70, that applies strictly, directly to you. All the rest, those under 70 will be approaching 70. Those over 70 can look back and think about what we are going to read. Verse 10. The days of our years are 70, meaning to say 70. Now, if by reason of strength they be 80, yet it is no big deal. Their strength is but labor and sorrow. This is what I'm going through now. And those of you who follow, you will not be spared this labor and sorrow. It is so. For it is soon cut off. And whether you like it or not, whether you are prepared or not, you fly away. Now, big question for all of us to ponder and make very sure you know where you are going when you are cut off and you fly away out of this earth. Where do you go? Ah, that is a very pertinent question. To everyone, no matter who you are, no matter how well you know the Lord, ask yourself, where am I going? I say especially a word very lovingly to some of my friends amongst the audience who may not be sure. I say, make sure. Make sure, please. And it is so easy and relevant and pertinent for you to make sure, because every man or woman must be sure of where he is going. It says here, it is soon cut off, your days of years, whether it is youth or age, doesn't matter. Death respects not age or youth or anything. When it comes, it comes. And you wonder why it comes. But wondering is of no great use. You must know, because the Creator has summoned for you, called for you. You, by name, he's called you, and you got to appear before him. Are you ready, dear friends? I ask you very frankly and lovingly, are you ready? Are you ready to go? All right, what does it say? Who knows the power of thine anger? Verse 11. Even according to thy wrath, so is according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply by our hearts unto wisdom. What is your age? Do you know? There are some people who only know their ages by pointing to a tree, the coconut tree. And they think, by counting the rungs of the on the body or the trunk of the tree, they will know their age. All right, whatever method you use, what is your age? When will God call you? Question is, I repeat again, so that you remember, are you ready? Now for tonight's lesson. This is the second night we are going to read about the Jews. The stage is set. The scene on earth. How is the scene around you? When I was in school, we learned this poem. And we didn't like poems very much. But nevertheless, I remember it because I would like to share it with you, and it is of relevance to you. It says, all this world is a stage. Does it ring a bell to some of you? Who wrote it? The greatest of English poets, Shakespeare. He says, all this world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. You are only an actor or a player on the stage of life, playing your part. And when the Creator calls, you depart. No matter whether you are ready or not, you depart. To give an account to the Creator. All the world's a stage. Are you ready? For it is soon cut off, and our lives fly away. Now, how good was Shakespeare? He has a lesson, a message for all of us here. We are on the world stage, playing out our part. Whether you are aware of it or not, you play a part, I play a part. How is your part getting on? Do you know that observing the world stage is our Creator? Please understand, we are not alone. Please understand, our Creator is a very loving Creator and God. Someone who is watching after us. Someone who is very concerned for us. Someone who loved us to the extent He gave His only begotten Son. Sent Him down to earth from heaven's glory. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Do you know? Do you have a part in heaven? Please understand. The world stage is like these steps here. Very soon, before you realize it, you will be struggling up the steps. Is your Creator concerned? Yes, very much so. Even as He was concerned for the three Jews, young people who were taken exiles. You know what is exile? Taken out of your country to a foreign country under foreign authority. This is to be exiled. You go where you do not want to go. So here it takes us to tonight's lesson. Daniel's prophecy, chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Daniel is about Daniel as well as about the king who was the king over Daniel and his companions. A very powerful king over the country that is where they were all at that time. The country is called Babylon. And the name of the king was Nebuchadnezzar. One of the most powerful men who ever lived. And some years ago, we had a similar man called Saddam Hussein. And some people thought he was the modern Nebuchadnezzar. Or he thought himself. But he ended in a ditch, in a little hollow, where he tried to escape. But the attackers, Americans, caught up with him. What a way to end your life, isn't it? How will you end your life? Now we are going to read from Daniel's prophecy. By the way, before we read, know this. Daniel was the greatest of all the prophets. A man of God that was used, amazingly used by God, wonderfully used. He is a man who was not only a religious man of faith, but he was someone who proved that man can be godly as well as a very powerful politician. He was an administrator. You can call him the prime minister over four regimes of the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. They all loved him. They all admired him. Perhaps some of us here will grow up to be such a person. But remember, God was with him. Now, what happened? The king had a dream. Then he lost the dream. He woke up and he said, "Hey, what did I dream?" It was a very unusual dream. And he had totally forgotten. Then he had an idea. How can I get the dream back? His idea was a crazy idea. He called all the wise men of the regime. "Come along and listen to me. I had a dream. However, I've forgotten." That was a terrible, terrible dream. "Now, you wise men, tell me what I dreamt. Can you do this?" Somebody dreams and forgets the dream and catches hold of you at his mercy and says, "You tell me the dream. And if you tell me the dream correctly, I'll give you great rewards." How about that? I say he's a crazy man, absolutely crazy. Who was he? Nebuchadnezzar. Now, let's read from Daniel chapter 2. By the way, Daniel was himself the greatest of all prophets of God. Do you know him? Whenever you read Daniel, give thanks to God that God has communicated with such a man and used him to communicate the message of God to many people, including to this congregation of Christians, that we may know, reading Daniel's prophecy, the mind of God, the intention of God, the plan of God. Do you know? Let's read. Maybe we read responsively. Verses 1 to 7. And then we see how we get along. I will begin and you respond by the even-numbered verses. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Of Daniel's prophecy. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled. Then he woke up from the dream. Verse 2, congregation, please. Then the king commanded. And the king said unto them, "I have dreamt a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know that dream." Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Sirach, "O king, the king answered," verse 5, "and said to the Chaldeans," who are the Chaldeans? I'll stop up point, and I'll explain to you. They were the people who came from the country of Chaldea, and they were very specialized in arts. This magic arts and dreams, this was their specialty. And they told the king, we can't make a head or tail out of this. You dream, and we tell you. You dream, you cannot tell us. So let's read on. The thing is gone from me, says Nebuchadnezzar. If he will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation of it, you shall be cut up in pieces. Oh, this is drastic and also unreasonable. But please understand, this is a story of a despot. You know what is a despot? One who rules without rule. His rule is in his own whims and fancies. Whatever he thinks should be done is done. That's a despot. No consultation, no opinion of many wise people to counsel him. But because I think it is the way, you do it, or I will cut you into pieces. This is what he says here. But if you show, verse 6, but if you show me the dream with the interpretation of it, he shall receive gifts and great rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation of it. Verse 7, please. Let the king tell his servants the dream. We will show thee the interpretation of it. So, it came to a deadlock. All the wise men, by the way, just for your information, every court in those days employed wise men, magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, wise men who could interpret difficult sentences and dreams and please the ruler. Verse 8, and the king answered and said, I know you are just playing for time, because you see the thing is escaped from me. I have forgotten the dream. I know it is unreadable, but I'm the king. So he says, he thinks. Now, verse 9, please read. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying words and corrupt words. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon earth, O king. Nobody will ever tell you. Is that so? Yes. Unless you are supernatural, unless you are gifted from God to know what was in the mind of the king, the one who had the dream, and you are asked to interpret, to know the dream, to tell it. Verse 11. It is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it other than you. How can we know? You have a dream, it's not something that you recite and you talk to everybody and we have heard what you dream, but you had a dream. You know what is a dream? You are asleep. And in your sleep, your subconscious mind wanders around. And it has got certain experiences which make the dream, make it so real. Sometimes you dream of all kinds of crazy ideas. Then you ask somebody, tell me my dream. You say, you tell me your dream. Ah, but the fellow who is the king, he says, I cannot tell you the dream because I've forgotten it. What do you say? Verse 11, it is a rare thing that the king requires of us. And there is none other than you who can show it, who can tell us, except the gods. Here we are coming nearer the solution to the problem. God, except the gods. The people here did not understand the omnipotent God alone, the Creator God. We are here because that Creator God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous salvation and given to us a book that tells us not only these dreams, but everything you need to know of your past, your present, your future. What is coming ahead for you? Do you know? How well do we know this book? Bible Camp is to acquaint you with the marvels and wonders and the preciousness of this book, hoping that you will cultivate in the 6 days or 5 days a love for the most wonderful book in the whole world, the Bible, a book which I have known for about 80 years, which you have known perhaps lesser years, but I hope you have learned to love and to cherish and to read and to study this book. Verse 11, it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. We don't profess to know God, to have God, to have access to God, which we have. Dear friends, do you know that in Christ Jesus we have a direct access to God, to talk to Him by prayer and to inform Him of our own situation? Are you praying? Are you making use of this wonderful access to God? Verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, because his wise men told him, we're not that wise, you know, king. Unless you tell us, how can we tell you? You made the dream. It's not something that we heard. You receive a message and we can help to tell you. No, you dream in your sleep and you expect us to tell you. No, no way, no way. Verse 13, now the king exerts his power. Good thing we have a parliament. Good thing we have members of parliament. And we have a cabinet which advise the prime minister what to do. In that situation, no. Only the king. What he says is law. He's a despot. Do you understand? Thank God we do not live under any despot. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be killed. And they sought Daniel and his fellows also to be killed, because they were in the same group. What was that group? Amazing. The king had a group of wise men, advisors, so-called, who would give advice according to his fancy and his pleasure. I'm pleased to hear your advice. I'm happy. But here the advice is, King, we do not understand what you're talking about. You dream, and you expect us to tell you the dream. No way. But the king has the last say. Not what you say, but what he says. Thank God we have a God who loves us and give us a mediator, one who goes between us and the God and the Creator God, and who helps us. Now are you grateful? Verse 14, then Daniel said with counsel and with wisdom to the captain of the king's guard, a man called Arioch, which was gone forth to carry out the order of the king. What was the order? Do you know? Of course, we all just heard what the order is. Kill all the wise men, all those who are supposed to give me advice and to tell me what to do. But they are unable to tell me anything because they have made up in their mind that I am unreasonable. Now, Arioch, you go ahead. You are the head of the king's guard. I want you to do this. Verse 15. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? This is what Daniel said. Verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king, O king, don't be so hasty, don't be so drastic in your decision. Do you know there is a God in heaven? Let's read. Daniel went in to the king and said to the king, give me some time, and he would show the king the interpretation. Verse 17. Now this is where the difference is. What did Daniel do? Do you know? Do you read this? Daniel, verse 17, went to his house and made the thing known to his three friends, Hananiah, also called some funny name, Mishael, Bishak, and Azariah, Abednego, okay, his companions, that they would hold a prayer meeting with him, a prayer meeting to speak to God. Now, how well is your prayer meeting attended? Do you ever go to prayer meeting? You see, it's different. So different. When I go to the prayer meeting, we hardly pray. And we only listen to a message. Then we have some kind of prayer. Then we go home. And we don't see much of this of a result. Is that so? Verse 17, then Daniel went in to his three friends and his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret of this king, that Daniel and his friends should not perish with the rest of the wise men. of Babylon. Then was the thing revealed to Daniel. What was revealed, dear friends, do you know? The history of the end of the world up to today and beyond is to be seen and to be understood by what you read. Now, we will end up to here, but from tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, we will conclude to know how this world will end. Are you interested? Do you want to know? It's all in here. It's all in here. Ah, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, teach us thy way and thy will, to know that we have a God who rules over the whole wide earth, and his knowledge is inestimable and unknowable. His power is above all human powers, for he is a God of all power, God of all gods, King of kings, and Lord of lords. And he is going to tell us what will be the end of the world. O Lord, may your people be ready as we adjourn for the night for a good night's rest. May we assemble tomorrow night once again to know what is the will of the Lord for the end time, how this world will end, how it will affect us individually and collectively. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.